I love it because you don't have to clean yourself up to come to God. That was the message right there. That's the gospel. And so it's so good to know that James, we step back into James now, and this is going to kind of get us back into that momentum of what does it look like to come close to God. And so we're in James 4. We got one more chapter left. Well, we got a couple more verses and then one more chapter left. There's only five chapters. And so it's taken us 9 weeks to get this far. But this one here is one of my favorite verses. It's highlighted in pretty much all my Bibles. I've read it over 50 times. And this week I had to read it about 50 more times to be able to give this message to you in a fresh new way. I needed it to wreck me first before I can let it wreck you. Wife's going, oh yes, he needs wrecked. And so as I kept reading it, you know, my heart got heavier, and I'm like looking at it, and I'm reading it, and I'm like, but at the same time, there was some hope in this message. It doesn't sound like there's hope, but there's hope. And it comes through humility. Let's just jump in. James 4, 7 through 10. It says, submit yourself to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. That doesn't sound like a Hallmark card, does it? You're not going to put that on the Hallmark card. It doesn't sound like some motivational like quote. What I believe it is, it's a wake-up call from God. It's a wake-up call that he wants to speak into our spirits. So let me ask you something. Have you ever felt far from God? Like you were going to church and you're reading your Bible and you're praying and everything, but deep down inside your heart, something isn't right. Almost like you feel like you're drifting away from God. Even though you're trying to do the right things and do the things that you're supposed to be doing, you feel like you're drifting away. I know because I do too. Like, I'm not talking to you, I'm talking with you. But in order to first understand this passage of Scripture, we got to understand who James is writing it to first. Okay? James is actually not writing this to people who don't believe in God. He's not talking to people who are running around the world, you know, living a worldly life. He's not talking to those people. He's talking to people who live like God is a nice add-on to their life. Just an add-on. Like, I believe God, but he's just an add-on. Like living like you believe in God, you believe in Jesus, but he's not actually the King of Kings in your life. Those are the people he's talking to. People who have let their hearts go cold. People who've let compromise creep in. And we've talked about that a while back. About, you know, we get to a point where we sin and do so many things that we become complacent to it. We become comfortable with our sin. I don't believe that James is writing this passage right here to shame them, though. He's doing it to bring them back. So they've drifted away, and he's saying these things because he wants to bring them back in alignment with God. What he's saying, he's telling them that God's not done with them yet. And here's the thing, he's not done with you yet either, or we wouldn't be reading it today. So if you've walked in here today and you feel tired, you're feeling stuck, you feel far from God, well, you're in the right place. Maybe you feel like you've been playing both sides, trying to hold on to your sin in one hand and raise your hand at church on Sunday. This word is for all of us. It's here to it's not here to condemn us. It's here to call us out of this and bring us back into the grace of God, into his presence. So how do we do that? We have to submit. Because if we'll submit, if we'll resist, if we come near, if we humble ourselves, guess what? He will lift us up. Who's ready? Who's ready? Didn't sound like anybody's ready for this. Okay. Who is ready to submit yourself to God? Yeah, you say that now. You say that now. That's not a statement I'm putting on a t-shirt or a tattoo on my arm. Submit? I don't like submit. Sounds weak. Makes me feel like I'm in a battle and I'm submitting and I'm waving the white flag. Like, I don't like to submit. Anybody else? Yeah, now no hands go up. Now nobody's excited. It feels like when I submit, I'm losing. It's like weakness. Have you ever been on a road trip with someone who just can't stop giving you directions? You got the GPS on. You got your destination in it. And it's really sweet when it talks. It's like, turn left here. We talked about this a while back, redirecting, but that's not this one. And turn here. And then you got your passenger in the other seat going, hey, I think it's the next turn up here. Or even worse, they're in the back seat doing it. That's even worse, right? You're driving. You've got the whole thing mapped out, and that voice is calling. Oh, in 1 mile, take exit 14B. But that person next to you is like, well, wait a minute. Wasn't that our turn back there? I think we could turn over here and still get there. And the next thing you know, a two-hour trip turns into about 2.5-hour trip. And you get frustrated. And what happens? You get frustrated with these people. You start getting upset and you start second-guessing these directions. And then you miss your exit and you're rerouted. But it's not because the GPS was wrong. It was because someone didn't trust it enough to let it lead. Listen. God isn't your passenger. He's not your co-pilot. He's not your GPS. No, I take that back. He is your GPS. He is your car. He is the road. He is the destination. Some of us want Jesus in the driver's seat. I like that. Jesus, take the wheel, you know. I love that. But I also like to sit in the passenger seat and say, I think we could go this way. It'd be shorter. Think about it. I think I got a better way. The Greek word here that James uses for submit. I'm so good at these words. Hupotasso. The Greek word for hupotasso. It's actually a military term, kind of like metanoia. We've talked about some of these words. It's actually a military term. It means to arrange yourself under the command of leadership. Submit means to be underneath the authority of somebody above you. You don't argue with your commanding officer. I got a lot of military and police officers in the house, and they'll tell you. You don't argue with your commanding officer. You fall in line with them. And the other part is that you have to trust their strategy. They're in that position because they've been through things. They've been trained. They've done these things. And what do? We follow orders. James is saying the same thing. If we need to submit to God, James is saying fall in line with God again. You might have drifted off, but fall back in line with God. Not just when you're in crisis, not just when you're uncomfortable, but every single day, wake up and say, God, I submit to you and what you want to do today. Here's the beauty of it all. When you finally stop trying to drive your own life and let him lead, that's when you start making progress. That's when peace replaces panic. That's when his power starts moving you through your path and where he wants to guide you. The posture of submission is the position of strength in the kingdom of God. The posture of submission is a position of strength in the kingdom of God. Submission is power. And the world says, like I said, I don't like to submit because it makes me feel weak. But in the kingdom of God, it makes you powerful. Let's jump in here. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. I love this. A lot of us have a picture of the devil as some unstoppable force, some like powerful evil villain. Don't we? We think that he's so strong, he's so overtaking, and he can do all these things. Like we should be afraid of him. But James says something that's so simple. Resist him and what? He will flee. Where's the power in that, devil? Resist him. Not because you're strong, not because you shouted loud enough or you found the perfect Bible verse and you posted it on Facebook or Instagram. And none of that stuff matters. It's because you are submitted that he's scared of. Submit yourselves then to God. Get it? Submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. It's that simple. Still working on it. I'm still practicing, right? Sometimes the fear screams louder than God's voice. But if I resist that noise and submit to God's, this one gets louder. It's not about power, it's about humility. And here's what you need to know. Hell doesn't fear people who just attend church. Hell doesn't tremble when someone posts that Bible verse. The devil flees from someone who is truly submitted to God. Someone who has let go of everything and they're on their face before a holy God. That's the person the devil fears. That kind of person terrifies the enemy. You want victory? It's not about raising your voice at the devil. It's in lowering yourself before a holy God. And the best part is God isn't asking you to be perfect in this entire process. He's just asking you to come closer. Draw near to him. Stop pretending. Stop performing. Stop trying to do something for God. He doesn't need you to do nothing. He's God. He wants you to just come close and get into his presence. If you submit your whole heart, he will lift you up. He says, come near to God and he will come near to you. I love this part. Some of you think God is really far away right now. Like he doesn't understand and you can't feel and you're questioning, why is this going on in my life? Maybe you feel like he should be far away from you right now because of the lifestyle that you might be living. Maybe you've wandered a little too far. Maybe this is your first time back in church in 10 years. You've compromised. You've allowed these sins to come in and you got so comfortable with them again and you think that God doesn't want anything to do with you. Well, that's not the message we preached last week, is it? The message last week we taught that God doesn't say clean yourself up and then come near. He says, no, no, no. He says, come near because of your mess and I will come near to you. Don't try to clean yourself up before you come. This is what separates God from any other religion. Again, we've talked about it. Everybody's trying to climb a ladder to get to God. And our God came down and met us right where we're at. The creator of the universe wants you. Not just your church attendance. Do you hear me? He doesn't want you just here on Sunday. He wants all of it. He doesn't want just your good behavior and your good works and all these things. He wants you. And I believe that. I just think that's insane. Because the only thing stopping us from having more of him is you. Is me. I'm the only one stopping me from having a good, intimate, deep relationship with my Creator, my Father. I'm the only one who stops that. It reminds me of this really cool story in Luke 15. It's called the prodigal son. He talked about He talked about a son who demanded, this boy, this young man demanded his inheritance from his father, and he took it and he ran off and he wasted it on partying and prostitutes and all this stuff. He hit rock bottom. He's in a pig pen and he's dirty. He's starving, and he finally comes to his senses. He starts rehearsing this speech. He's like, I'm gonna set my pride aside and I'm gonna go back home. And he sets up the speech and says, Father, I'm not worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. That's what he says. And then he decides to go home. But here's the wild part. The Bible says, while he was still a long way off, the father sees him. He's on the porch and he sees him. Why? Because the father had been watching and waiting for his son to come back. How many times have we felt like we got so far over here and we're like, I'm waiting for God to reveal himself to me so that I can go back and I can find forgiveness and do all these things. I have to do something. When he's actually saying, I'm standing right here waiting for you to come close, to come back. He's waiting. He's watching. And I love this because it says that the father ran to his son. This is actually not that culture. You don't see the men of the house running to their kids waiting on the porch. It goes against their culture. Grown men didn't run. But this father didn't care about his dignity. He cared about his boy coming home. He throws his arms around him. He kisses him. He calls for a robe and a ring and a feast. And he says, this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and now is found. It's not just a story that Jesus says in this. It's his heart for you. This is God's heart. He's waiting for you to come back home. And I don't care how far you've gone and how long you've been there. All he says is, welcome home. I love this one. You're all going to love this one. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Tap your neighbor and say, wash your hands, you sinner. You're not doing a very good job here. You're supposed to tell your neighbor, not yourself, to wash your hands, you sinners. Hey, that one actually kind of cuts a little bit, doesn't it? Don't miss the point here. God isn't calling you a sinner to crush you. He's not calling you a sinner to make you hurt. He's calling you a sinner because he wants to cleanse you. He says there's some things in your life that shouldn't be there, and I want to step in and cleanse these things. That's what he means. This is what repentance looks like. It's not, oops, I've sinned again. Oop, I did it again. It's a brokenness. It's a godly sorrow. Like, God, I sinned against you. My sin has hurt my family. It's hurt my friends. It's hurt other people. But more importantly, I've sinned against you. I'm breaking your heart. It's like falling on your knees saying, God, I've been faking it. I've been trying to love you with one hand and holding on to my sin with the other. James is saying enough. It's enough. Wash your hands. Purify your heart. Be done with your double life. Grieve, mourn, and wail, and change your laughter into mourning and your joy to gloom. Who wants to be sad in the house of God today? No hands. Some of us need to feel the weight of our sin again. Some of us need to feel the weight of that. Because it's in that weight is where God uses us to bring us up and lifts us up. If you're numb to your sin, what's the use of repentance? What's the use of forgiveness if you're so comfortable with it? We've become complacent with it. We need to feel the weight of our sin again. We've gotten so numb to it. We scroll, we binge watch TV, we distract, we self-medicate. But James says, stop laughing it off. Stop acting like it's not a big deal. Sin is what nailed Jesus to the cross. You'll never experience the full weight of God's mercy until you feel the full weight of your rebellion. But here's the hope. God doesn't leave us there in that place. Guess this. Check this out. He breaks you so that he can remake you. We need to unlearn a lot of things. We need to unlearn behavior. And he's the only one who can bring the new, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Next one. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. I want you to hear this clearly. Either you humble yourself now, or life will humble you later. God had given me so many times, I say BC, before Jesus, so many times tried to get my attention. My heart was broken. I was numb and self-medicating with drugs and alcohol and gambling and all this stuff. And I was so numb. And it got to the point where, you know, I seen car accidents like right in front of me. There were so many different things that God says, I'm trying to get your attention. I'm trying to get your attention. I'm trying to get your attention. And I just didn't see it. I wasn't humble enough. I was so prideful. And then I found out, God humbled me. I was unable to humble myself. And it gets to the point where everything falls apart and I lose everything. Either you will humble yourself now or life will humble you later. But when you choose to go low, when you get down on your knees, when you stop pretending like you have are strong enough to manage all of these things and spin all these plates in your life, who likes spinning plates? When you stop pretending like you're strong enough, God doesn't push you down further. You push yourself down further. But he will start lifting you up the moment you submit and humble yourselves. Y'all been wondering about this ladder, huh? That's why I put it there, to distract you. This ladder represents pride. Pride. The world says that success is a good thing. We think that if we can find some success, we can get more money, right? Have a good job, get some more money. And we keep climbing this ladder of success. And the more we climb it, you notice how the stairs get narrower? You actually had some people down here probably with you along the way that aren't there anymore. And I know this from example. The higher I climb, the more I say, look what I did. Look at the success in my life. Man, I've been faithful with these things. I've been doing these things. And I keep climbing this thing. And guess what? It's all my pride. My pride gets stronger, gets built up in me. I am a successful person because of the work that I've done. These things are good. Hear me. These things are good. God wants to bless us with these good things. But he never wants our eyes to be focused on the gift and not the giver, because that's where pride rises up. So sometimes we need to take a step off our ladders, and we need to come over here. This simple little wooden bowl. This bowl represents humility. Think about it. Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he sat around with his people, and guess what he did? He took a bowl similar to this, and he washed his disciples' feet. Humility. The Lord of Lords bowed down and got on his knees with a bowl and washed his disciples' feet. This bowl represents what God is looking for. He wants you to have these things, but he wants your humble heart. He wants you to serve well. He wants you to cast all of these things into these bowls. Because pride says, no, 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 I got to hold it in. I can't tell nobody. I can't share these things. Nobody will understand. I'm the only one who's been through it. You know where I'm going with this, right? Cast your cares into the bowl and stop trying to climb a ladder that only produces more pride in you. It's not your resume. It's not your accomplishments. It's not God. It says, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. Jesus is the King of Kings. He is God. He's not an angel. He's not your brother. He's not your anything. He is God in the flesh. I love this because he's the King of Kings. He knelt down. He took a towel. He wrapped it around himself. He took the basin. He washed his disciples' feet. And the Son of God didn't climb higher. He stooped lower. If you know that you've been climbing this ladder for most of your life, if this is where you've been, it's okay. That's why this message is here. To realign, to recalculate your GPS. Not with shame, not with guilt, but with love and compassion, with grace. If you've been climbing this ladder, and if you know God's been calling you to surrender something, we all got something that we need to give up to God. Every single one of us. Every one of us. And if you were to say, he who is without sin, yeah, should I even go farther? If you say you're without sin, you call God a liar. There's no need for Jesus if you're without sin. God has been calling you to surrender something. Maybe it's your sin, your shame, fake perfection. If you feel that nudge in your spirit like he's been inviting you to kneel and surrender, you got to get this. I want to invite you right now. Write something down. You see the little pieces of paper in your front, in front of your seats? Do you see them? Pull it out. Pull it out. I don't care if you guys get uncomfortable because I love you. Pull that piece of paper out. Be as discreet as you can. You need to write something there. I know you're going to feel uncomfortable. Good. God doesn't call us into comfort. He calls us into something new. I don't know what that sin might be. I'm not sure what he's asking you to write a prayer about. It could be a prayer. It could be a secret sin. It could be whatever it might be. Write something on that piece of paper. Yeah, you thought you guys were going to get off easy and just go home and or eat some food and do all that fun stuff, right? Yeah. Welcome to New Hope Church, where New Hope is real. Don't show nobody. Don't put your name on it. Write something on it. Fold it up. There's a moment in our lives where we have to submit, humble ourselves. We got to get on our hands and knees and wash the feet of somebody else. Because really what God wants isn't your pride. He wants humility, love, and service. Now what I'm going to do for you, let today be a new day. I want you to sit here. Go ahead and play it. Go ahead and play it. I want you to sit here and think about this. You can't walk into church and walk out feeling the same way. That's not how it's supposed to go. There's something that we all need to write. I've already got mine in my heart. I know where it is. I got to write it down and I got to turn it in. We need to surrender these things to God. If you want it out of your life, you know it's destroying everything that you touch. You know that it shouldn't be there. Write it down. Fold it up. Come to this bowl. Drop it in this bowl because it's in this bowl right here that we find our humility. Your pride is telling you right now not to do it. Don't do it. People are going to watch me. Guess what? We all have secret sins. Nobody's going to judge you in the house of God. We're going to pray for you in the house of God. We're going to pray that in the name of Jesus, these things go away. You guys should be running up here. Don't wait for me. You should be running up here. Get it in there. Get rid of it. Lay it down. And here's the best part. When you put it in here, do not pick it back up. Leave it. Leave it right there. Can't keep trying to hold all this weight. You got to humble yourselves before the Lord. I'm telling you, He will lift you up. Lay it down. Surrender it. Don't wait. Would you guys stand to your feet? Submit yourselves there to the Lord, and He will lift you up.